Wow. What an introduction, what a blessing. I'm very happy to see all of you guys here today at our Greater Faith service. It's a blessing to see all of you. You know, I see some new faces with us or some new folks with us. You are also welcome. This is our Greater Faith service, happens every Sunday at 12 p.m. And I just want to give us a moment. You know, if you know anybody that should be here, or anybody that you invited that maybe hasn't joined yet, you can let them know now that the preaching is just about to begin, that, you know, the most important part of the service is just about to begin. And I believe that they'll be blessed as you quickly, last minute, invite them. Amen. So as we begin today's service, let's just have a quick word of prayer as we enter into this time of word. Amen. Father God, I thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to meet, this opportunity to gather. Lord, I pray, Father, for this time in your presence, oh God, that you will soften our hearts. Help our hearts, oh God, to receive your word. Help our hearts to receive your knowledge, oh God. Lord, your word says that grace and peace come through the knowledge of you. Lord, I pray that as we are increasing ourselves in the knowledge of you, I pray, Lord, that you will help us and that you will guide us, oh God. May we not stay the same, Lord. Lord, I pray for anyone who is struggling, anyone who is having a difficult time, anyone who may be feeling down, who may be feeling far from you. Lord, I pray, though, Lord, that you will make a way for them to come back little by little. God, I pray that you will guide them, hold their hand, open a door for them to come back closer to you. I pray for those who are around, oh God, who might be struggling, who might have had some issues or some challenges, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you will keep them, that you will sustain them, Lord. Order their footsteps, oh God. Help them to stay on the right path, Lord. May they not change, oh God. May they stay connected. May they stay close to you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we want to give you thanks. Amen. 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 So everyone is welcome. You are welcome to church this afternoon. It's a blessing to see all of you guys here today in service. So for those of you who weren't here last week, we began a new series in church last week called Those Who Accuse You. Last week, we spent some time studying or learning on the topic of those who accuse you, or another title of last week's message could have been The Benefits of Dealing with an Accuser. Yeah, The Benefits of Dealing with an Accuser. Now, what is an accusation or what is an accuser? So an accusation or somebody who accuses you is somebody who is someone who is charging something against you, or an allegation is made against someone. That is what a accusation is. Amen. So, or another definition is, an accusation is a statement saying that you think someone is guilty of doing something wrong. Wow. An accusation is a statement saying that you think someone is guilty of doing something wrong. Yeah. And we learned last week that, you know, the devil is the main accuser in our lives, that Satan is actually the main accuser. And that when someone accuses you, you know, many of us, when someone accuses you, the person who's accusing you is actually being employed by Satan himself, like is actually an employee of the devil. And I'm not sure if we have that verse in Revelations chapter 12, verse 10. If we can show that verse, Revelations chapter 12 and verse 10. But the Bible actually tells us that Satan is another word. You know, when you hear somebody call Satan the devil, or different words that people use to describe the devil, another word that you can use to describe him is the accuser of the brethren. Yeah, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, that Satan is also the accuser of the brothers and the sisters. Like, Satan is the one who accuses us. We don't accuse one another. Many times when you have a friend, who, you know, like, is accusing you of something. Many times when you have a friend who's accusing you of something, you know, last week I asked us, how many of us have had an accusation? This is the verse right here. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of the Messiah. Okay. And then for the accuser of our brothers and sisters. Yeah. The accusers of our brothers and sisters. And if you read Revelation chapter 12, you know, this event that happened, this actually took place in heaven. Yeah, how many of us knew that Satan actually used to reside and live in heaven with God? Yeah, but then he was kicked out. He was kicked out of heaven. Yeah, and one of the reasons he was kicked out of heaven was accusation. Yeah, pray that you don't become an accuser. Yeah, pray that you don't become somebody who accuses you of things. Today, we're going to learn I'm just giving a recap for those of us who are new. But today we're going to learn about the hidden laws of accusation today. Yeah, the hidden laws of accusation. And I'm just giving a recap. But we learned that, you know, Satan is our main accuser. And Satan, many times, you know, he employs people. He employs people to accuse us. He employs people to make us feel down, to make us feel like we can't come up, to make us feel like, oh, we'll always stay the same. If you have anyone in your life who has ever told you that, oh, you can't change, or oh, you'll always stay the same, you'll never become a strong Christian. If you've had anyone tell you that before, you have to be very careful of those kind of people. Amen. So last week, you know, we went through some of the benefits of dealing with an accuser. Yeah, the benefits of dealing with an accuser. One of the main benefits of dealing or silencing an accuser is salvation. Another benefit is strength. Another benefit is the kingdom of God. And we learned that the kingdom of God is essentially God's will for us. Yeah, God's will for us is the kingdom of God. And we learned that the power of Christ is released. Yeah, the power of Christ is released when you deal with an accuser. Amen. So this week, we're going to learn about the title of this week's message. For those of you taking notes, you know, I encourage us to take notes. You know, one of the challenges that as I'm preaching, as I'm going to spend maybe the next 20, 30 minutes saying so many things, maybe 80% of what I say will actually get in. Maybe 20% of what I say will actually get in. 80% of what I'm about to say will be lost. You'll forget it. It'll go in one ear and out the other. If I ask you, you know, if I didn't give that recap for those who were here last week, you'll see that many of us can't recall it. Unless we took notes, wild notes. So I want to encourage us to take notes of today's message, and I believe you'll be blessed. Amen. So the title of today's message, for those of you taking notes, is The Hidden Laws of Accusation. Yeah, The Hidden Laws of Accusation. So there are some laws that actually dictate when people accuse us of things. Yeah, there are some laws that actually dictate when people accuse us of things. And the most common, the most effective law, the number one law that we must remember is for those of us taking notes, the most effective accusers are those closest to you. So the first law of accusation is that the most effective accusers are those closest to you. Those closest to us are our most effective accusers. And unfortunately, sometimes it may not be friends, it may not be family, it may be you. It may be us. Like, we are our own accusers many times. We accuse us of you can't change. Oh, you can't feel like, you can't feel spiritual. You can't feel like maybe you're doing good in your walk with Christ. Many times we accuse ourselves of that. How many of us have ever felt like, oh, God doesn't want to hear from me? Sometimes you feel like God doesn't, I see some hands going up. If you can raise your hand also in the chat box, because I'm also lifting my hand. Sometimes you can feel like, you know, God doesn't want to hear from you. You feel down. You feel like it's like you can't change. You can't change. Like it's like you'll always be the same. Yeah, but the Bible, or I'm sorry, but the point is telling us that our most effective accuser, yeah, isn't going to be our friend, isn't going to be our family member. It's not going to be a church, a friend or someone in the church. Our most effective accuser is going to be ourselves and our own thoughts. And our own minds. And that's why the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, if we can turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible tells us there, what does it say? It says that for our struggle, if you read this verse in another version, it says, for we fight not. But in this version, I believe this is the NIV version, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Wow. Yeah, so what we are really dealing with as people here on earth, as people who call ourselves Christians, what we're really dealing with is we are dealing with rulers, with authorities, with powers in the dark world. That's actually what is causing us to accuse ourselves. So when you make a mistake, yeah, when you make a mistake, when you do something that you know you're trying to stop and it's like, oh, I do it again. Many times that thought you have of, oh, I shouldn't pray. I shouldn't read my Bible. How can I become spiritual? Many times that thought that you have is actually straight from the devil. It's a voice that's coming to you. It's something that you are allowing the devil to say to you. You are accusing yourself of, oh, I'm too sinful to pray. I'm too sinful to ask for forgiveness. Yeah, there's been many times in my life where I felt as though maybe this thing I keep doing, or maybe I've made some mistake. And there's been many times where I feel like, you know, I'm too bad to pray, or it's like I'm too sinful to go and ask for forgiveness. But forgiveness was given to us to use. Yeah, forgiveness was given to us to use. Mercy was given to us to use. Yeah, salvation was given to us to use. So I'm encouraging us to use those things that have been given to us. Amen. And you know, last week I introduced us to a book. And I'm going to keep introducing us to this book because I feel as though every Christian, every person should have the opportunity to listen or to read this book. I said listen because it's also an audio book. So you can actually go on YouTube and just type in The Final Quest, and you can find the whole book. It's an audio book there, and you can listen to it if you want. But it's a book that I encourage us to read because it shows us what maybe things that are happening behind the scenes, things that are happening in our lives behind the scenes, these things that we see on the screen here in this verse. It shows us what the struggle is or what the fight is when we say that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. When the Bible tells us in Ephesians that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, what it's actually telling us is that our struggle is not against humans. Yeah, if someone's accusing you, it's not your friend who's accusing you. If you make a mistake, it's not the person you made a mistake with's fault. If you do something, it's not like necessarily you. Yeah, many times it is what? It is the rulers and the authorities. Yeah, so when we're struggling with things, when we are going through things, our struggle is not with really one another. I want us to really understand this point, that our struggle in life or our struggles in our Christian walk are not with one another. Our struggles with our Christian walk are against what? The powers of this dark world. That's actually what our real fight and our real struggle is against. And when you read the book, The Final Quest, I'm just going to read to us a short excerpt from the book. The book was written by Rick Joyner. It's a really good book. I see Elizabeth wrote that it's a really good book. And I'm sure there's others who have read the book before. So I encourage us to get it. It's called The Final Quest. It's a book of Rick Joyner's visions, right? So God gave him several visions throughout his lifetime. And I'm going to just read us an excerpt of one of the visions. And one of the key things about these visions is they show us what the Christian walk is like. So if you want to have the background to the Christian walk, how many of us sometimes watch a movie and you wonder what the background is like? Our lives are all like a movie, but there's a background to it. There's something that's happening behind the scenes in all of our lives. When you make a mistake, when you fall, when you're feeling like you are condemned, or you're feeling like you are accusing yourself of you're bad, you're sinful. It's actually something is actually happening behind the scenes. Amen. So I'm just going to read to us this short excerpt from the book. This is a book. This excerpt or the title of this paragraph in the book is actually called A Vision of Accusers. Yeah, A Vision of Accusers. And, you know, it says above the prisoner. So if you read throughout the book, there's an army of Christians, right? And they were actually prisoners. They were prisoners for the devil. Mercy, Lord. And the Bible is saying that above the prisoners, the sky was black with vultures named Depression. Occasionally, these would land on the shoulders of a prisoner and would vomit on him. The vomit was condemnation. Wow. And when the vomit hit a prisoner, he would stand up and march a little straighter for a while. Wow. So it says that in the vision that when the vomit, which was titled condemnation, would hit a prisoner, the prisoner would stand up straight for a little while and then slump over, even weaker than before. Sometimes when we condemn ourselves, it's like, okay, I have to get back on the right track. I have to get back good. We sit up straight for a little bit, but then eventually you fall back again. And the next time you fall, you are weaker than before. Mercy. And it says that, again, I wondered why the prisoners did not simply kill these vultures with their swords, which they could have easily done. As I watched, I realized these prisoners thought the vomit of condemnation was truth from God. Yeah, I want to encourage us this morning or this afternoon that when you are feeling condemned, when you are feeling down, when you are feeling like there's not like you are so bad or like you have done something so bad that God can't, why should I even go to church? Maybe some of you have that thought sometimes, like, why should I even go to church? Yeah, that is not the voice of God. That is not a correct voice. It is the voice straight from Satan, and you must realize that. You must realize that it is not a correct voice. God will never tell you, oh, why should you pray? Why should you read your Bible? He wants us to pray. Even after you've sinned, pray. Yeah, I'm here to tell you this morning. even after you've sinned, pray again and ask God for his mercy and his forgiveness, and he will definitely help you. Amen. So the first law of accusation is the most effective accusers are those closest to you. Amen. The second law of accusation is that your relationships will be polluted with accusations. Yeah, your relationships. Yeah, all your relationships, your friendships, your family members. Maybe you have a beloved or somebody you're talking to. You know, those things, they will all be polluted with accusations. And if you turn your books, or I'm sorry, if you turn your Bibles to Matthew 27 and verse 12, the life of Jesus was filled with accusations. So if Jesus's life was filled with accusations, then our life definitely will be as well. Matthew 27, verse 12 and 13, it says, when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? Wow. Mark 14, 56. So he was accused here by who? By the chief priest and by the elders. Mark 14, 56. It's another accusation of Jesus. Many testified falsely against him, but neither statements did not agree. Yeah, many tested falsely against him. They accused him. When someone testifies falsely against you, it's a type of accusation. And then lastly, Luke 23 and verse 1. I believe it's 1 to 2. Yeah, it says, then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to what? Accuse him, saying, we have found this man subverting our nation and so many things. So yeah, they accused him as well. So Jesus's life was filled with accusations, and so will our lives. Your life will be filled with accusations. Your relationships will be filled with accusations. If we go back to Matthew chapter 27, there's a key thing here I want us to notice. I want us to jot down as one of the ways of dealing with accusations in your relationships. So anyone that you classify a type of relationship, right? A parent, a sibling, a friend, a family member, anyone who you classify as a type of relationship, you may be asking yourself, okay, how do I deal with it? How do I deal with when I'm being accused? Jesus gives us the key right here. He says that when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Yeah, someone say he gave no answer, or write it in the chat box that he gave no answer. So the way for us to deal with accusations when we are being accused is to not give an answer. Many of us, when we're accused, we feel now is when we have to really defend ourselves. Now is when we really have to talk. We really have to speak. We really have to say something. We really have to say something. We really have to stick up for ourselves. But Jesus Christ himself, when he was accused, and he was accused by people who are high, he was accused by priests and elders. He said that the Bible says that he gave no answer. He took no effort to defend himself. See, when you know who you are, and when you are confident in yourself, you won't fall into that trap where you begin to debate. Now you begin to try to explain and try to defend yourself. If someone tells you that, oh, you'll always stay the same, now you try to give reasons as to why you'll change. It's a waste of time. You know that you will change. You have found your confidence in Christ. You shouldn't try and defend, try and speak too much, try and over-elaborate, try and over-explain, try and over-defend. All that does is bring unnecessary tension into your life, not the other person's life, but into your life. So I want to encourage us that when people accuse us of things, you know, try your best not to always feed in, always try and stick up for yourself. Sometimes sticking up is not necessary. Sometimes what is necessary is to just move away. It's to just separate yourself away from that person. It's to simply deal with the accuser in your life. Amen. The next law, or the next hidden law of accusation, is you will be accused of the exact opposite of what you really are. Yeah, for those of us taking notes, it says you will be accused of the exact opposite of what you really are. Yeah, so how many of us sometimes have been accused of something that we know we haven't done? Or maybe you no longer are that person. You know you are no longer that person. If you can turn our Bibles to John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Now, see, this particular law is the main strategy of Satan, to accuse you of what you no longer are, is the main strategy of Satan. So if you take anything away from this series of accusation, please take away that the main strategy of Satan is what? To accuse you of what you are not. And you believe it. Unfortunately, we believe it many times. We accept it. We believe it in our hearts that, okay, this is what I am. Sometimes you accept that you have a problem that you really don't even have. You accept that you have a problem and you begin to try and work on an issue. And now you have an issue that you don't have. Yeah. Now you have an issue that you really don't have. And many times this is the thing that affects many of our relationships. Yeah, I'm speaking to someone now. Many of the times this is the things that affect many of our relationships. You know, one of the things that make many of our relationships unsuccessful is we focus on what is not right. We focus so much on the problems. We focus so much on what is not going well. And that's actually what Satan allows us to do. When we are Christians, when we are coming to church, when we are doing well in church, we are praying, maybe we're having our quiet time. Maybe this week you sent 5 green checks to the group chat. It's like you are doing everything that you need to do. Satan can actually feed you a thought that you have a problem. And then you spend more time focusing on the problem than what is going right. And many times that's what spoils many relationships, is people just focus so much on the problem. This is not right. This is not right. This needs to be fixed. This needs to be corrected. Instead of simply focusing on what is going well. Sometimes focusing on what is going well will keep you. Yeah, yeah. It's actually one of the keys. Focus on what is going well. Sometimes in your life, focus on what is going well. When you are not feeling like things are going well for you, focus on what is going well. Focus on what you have right. Think, sometimes you have to sit down and think, okay, what are my blessings? What are the things that are going well for me? I have a job. I have a place I can stay. I know somebody, she has, she's not maybe in school, or she feels like she's a little bit behind, I guess, with college. And this week, you know, I was talking to her and we were just talking and she was telling me that she feels like she's behind with school. She feels like she's behind with college. And I was telling her that, oh, but you know, like you have a plan. And she was so focused on the fact that she was behind. And she was talking to me about, she has 2 older sisters who are ahead of her and who have done, when they were her age, they had already crossed some milestones that she hasn't even crossed yet. And she was so adamant and so focused on that. And I was really telling her, oh, but you have a plan in place. You have this, you have that. There are some people in your shoes that don't have this. Yeah. And many times we focus on what we don't have. We focus on what we, on where we are at today. We don't focus on, wow, I have a plan in place. I have this going for myself. I have this going for myself. We just focus on, oh, what I don't have. So from today, try and focus on what you do have. Someone say amen to me. Try and focus on what you do have. And I believe it would be a blessing. But yeah, so the next hidden law of accusation, I believe, was Satan will accuse you of the exact opposite of what you really are. John 16, verse 33, the Bible says here, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Yeah, "in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Amen. So we must be in Christ. That's what Jesus is telling us here. It says that in me, how many of us know that we are not actually citizens of this world? We are not actually citizens of the earth we are in. All of us here, I see Olivia, I see Kayla, I see Rose, I see Rachel, I see Liz, I see so many of us here. None of us are actually citizens here. We are citizens in heaven. And that's why Jesus tells us that he has overcome the world. So if you are here, you are already a citizen in heaven. And what Jesus is encouraging us to do here is he's encouraging us to what? To be in him, to be in him, to have peace. If you're looking for peace in your relationships, maybe you continuously are getting into it with your parents. You've gone into it with your parents 3 times this past week. You've argued with both of your parents 3 times this past week. Maybe you and the person you're in a relationship with, you guys nonstop arguments, like constant arguments. If you are really looking for peace in all of these relationships, maybe you have a friend. It's like they do something to you, you do something back. They do something to you, you do something back. All of these things, one of the ways to overcome them, or the main way to really overcome them, is to be in Christ, to actually be found in Christ. The Bible says that these things that I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Yeah, you will have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. And tribulation, that word tribulation you see on your screen, also could just mean problems. It could just mean problems. A lot of times when you are having problems, it's because we are two in the world. Mercy, Lord. When we are having problem again and again, it's because we are two in the world. We find ourselves too planted in the world. You have to have a separation. There must be a difference. I've said this before, and I think it's important that I say this again. You know, if you're a Christian, there must be something different about you. You must find something different about you, whether it's your priorities, whether it's your interests, something has to be different from you, from those in the world. Something must be different about you. And when Satan comes to accuse you of the exact opposite of what you really are, You need to be found in Christ in order to be able to overcome it. Amen. 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 The last law for today, there's so many, there's actually 18 laws, but because of time, we can't finish them all today. But the last law for today is your accusations will not stop until you react wrongly. Yeah, your accusations will not stop until you react wrongly. Your accusations stop once you react in a wrong way. Matthew 27 and verse 14. We may need to go back to verse 12, but Matthew 27 and verse 14. But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. So your accusations will stop once you react wrongly. Yeah, your accusations will stop once you blow up, once you get angry, once you lose it, once it's like you are so frustrated, you can't keep yourself, you can't control yourself. That's when your accusations stop. When you defend and you go back. The Bible says what? It says that Jesus made no, so at no point in any of the accusations that Jesus received, did he give a response. And you have to be that way. We must all be pray that we become that way, that we're not quick to fire back. How many of us sometimes notice, you know, I remember many times I would think to myself, if I, this argument that I just had with this person, if when they spoke, if I had just said, okay, I wouldn't be in this situation now. Sometimes some of us, that's actually what changes the relationship. It's simply just saying, okay. Sometimes our parents are mad at us because we didn't say, okay. They said something and it's like, you responded back. All you had to do was just say, okay. Many times, I can tell you me personally, many times. There's been many times where me and my mom have had a disagreement. And many times when I look back, well, all I should have just said was okay. Because what happens after the disagreement and after you talk and after you debate, you feel a need to defend and negotiate. Many times what happens there is you lose something. Something is lost, whether it's some peace, whether it's some happiness, something is always lost once you feel a need to go back. I'm encouraging us today, be more Christ-like. Let's all try and be more Christ-like and do what is on the screen now. It says that what? Jesus made no reply. Let's all become people who can actually just say, okay. When someone defends you of the exact opposite of what you really are, be able to just walk away, be able to just take a step away. Sometimes I step away, even if it's just to think, just to process, just to take a moment. Yeah, someone told me recently, like, oh, Dylan, I think sometimes you respond too quickly back to me. Like when I tell you something, you're too quick to have a response. Like you haven't thought about it. Mercy, Lord. Yeah, sometimes it's okay to take a step back. They were telling me to process. The person was telling me when you say something, when I say something to you, you should take a few minutes and process it. So when you give your answer, it's actually like a correct answer. Like this is actually how you really feel. Yeah, some of us, sometimes maybe we can do that. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. Like, it's like when somebody tells you something, you just say what's on your mind right away. But your mind could change. Amen. So just take a few moments, sit back and process it and think about it. Amen. I think we have enough time to give one more law. One more law of accusation. This is, I believe, number 5. If I'm not mistaken. I believe this is the 5th law for those of us taking notes. The 5th law of accusation is the motive for accusations is deeper than the issues presented. Wow. The motive for accusations is deeper than the issues presented. So when somebody brings an issue to your front, when somebody brings an issue to you, Liz, or brings an issue to you, Rose, and they say that, oh, you are doing this, or I've seen that you've done this, or I see that this thing you keep on doing, it's an issue they bring to you. A lot of times the motivation behind it is deeper than what they've said. It's deeper than what they are trying to get to your heart. They're trying to get to you. They are trying to get to where you are the softest at. That's why the Bible encourages us and the Bible tells us to guard our heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Many times we're not guarded enough in our heart. We are too quick to give our hearts to things, too quick to give our hearts to people, too quick to give our hearts to situations. Many times, unfortunately, we give our hearts too quickly to our plans. Yeah, we give our hearts too quickly to some plans. Some of us, we have such big plans, such big aspirations, and we've given our hearts to it. And the Bible is telling us to guard your heart. That's why sometimes you have to ask yourself, you know, do I really know my Bible? Because when you think about it and you sit down and think about it, you've given your heart totally to your 3-year plan. But the Bible tells you to guard your heart, for out of it flows what? The issues of life. Yeah, the issues that come to us are trying to get into your heart. The issues that come to you, Kayla, are trying to affect you, trying to affect your heart, trying to actually disturb your peace. That's actually what is happening when the Bible tells us to guard our hearts. I want to pray for all of us as we close today's service. I see that we're right on time. As we close today's service, I want to pray for all of us that, you know, pray for yourself as I'm praying for you. Pray for yourself to guard your heart. Pray for yourself to be guarded. Pray to guard your heart against accusations, against people coming into your life and coming to accuse you of things that you know are not true. The Bible, one of the laws from today was what? You will be accused of the exact opposite of what you really are. Yeah, some of us will be accused of the exact opposite of what we really are. And the way to deal with it is no response or no reply. So just take a few moments, pray for yourself wherever you may be. Pray for your heart. You know, take your hand and place it over your heart and just pray for yourself. Pray that God will keep your heart. God will keep your heart against accusation. Pray that God will help you to be wise in the way you deal with accusation. Just lift up your voice and pray for yourself for the next 3 minutes. Masa kariba, masa kariba. Father God, we give you thanks, oh Lord. Lord, we give you thanks, God. Lord, I pray for our hearts, oh God. I pray for our hearts. Yes, Lord, I pray for our hearts, oh God. Father God, I pray for our hearts. Yes, Lord, I pray for our hearts, oh God. I pray, Lord, that we will keep our hearts, oh God. Give us revelation. Give us revelation, oh God, to see those, oh God, who want to hurt us. Give us revelation, oh God, to see those, oh God, who want to hurt us. Give us revelation, oh God, against accusation. Lord, may we not accuse ourselves. May we not accuse ourselves. May we not bring ourselves down. May we not fall back into the pit of condemnation. May we not believe condemnation, oh God. Lord, help us to stay connected. Just pray for yourself. Continue to pray for yourself. Pray that God will help you. Pray that God will help you to not condemn yourself. Pray that you will not make a mistake that will condemn you. Pray that you will not have a thought that will condemn you. Masa kariba shayanama. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We are thankful to you, O God. We know you are keeping us away, O God, from the accuser of the brothers and the sisters, O Lord. We are giving you thanks, Father God. Lord, we are thankful to you. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, oh God. We know that we are changing. We know that we're not staying the same, oh God, that the voice of the accuser will not impact us. Pray for yourself, oh God. Pray for yourself wherever you are. Pray that God's voice will be able to touch your heart. Pray that God's voice will be able to touch you. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that the voice of the devil will not be what is condemning you. Pray for revelation. Pray for eyes to see. I pray, oh God, that we will be people of revelation. Grant us the spirit of revelation and discernment so we can see our path, so we can see what is coming before us. Oh God, Masa Kariba, Bashi Kariba. Yes, God. Yes, God. We are thankful to you. We are thankful to you, oh God. We are thankful to you, Father God. We are thankful to you, Lord. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for where you are taking us. Yes, God. Thank you for where you are taking us. Continue to keep us, Lord. Continue to keep us. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, I pray for revelation. Give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see when the enemy is coming. Give us eyes to see when the enemy is coming. Oh, God. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us with eyes to see as the enemy is coming. Help us, oh, Lord, with eyes to see as the enemy is coming. Malaba, malaba, kariba, masa kariba. Yes, God. Give us eyes to see. I pray for discernment. I pray, God, that every person here today will be filled with the spirit of discernment. Help them to discern their friends. Help them to discern their classmates, associates, family members, oh God. Help them to discern from bad situations, evil people with evil intentions for them. I pray, oh God, the spirit of revelation will reveal to us, oh God, the people that need to be removed from our life. Any voice that is not for us, oh God, help us to see it, oh God. Open our eyes of understanding, oh Father God, that we will see it, oh God. Help us, God, not to stay at the same place, oh God. Not to stay around people with bad intentions, oh God. Help us, oh Lord, to change. Yes, Lord. Pray for yourself. 1 minute. Just pray for yourself that God has given us revelation and discernment. You will see those who want to accuse you. You will see those with evil intentions for you, evil intentions for your life. Evil intentions for you. Just pray for the people in your life, the friends that you have. Pray that they will be revealed to you. Pray that you will not stay in the midst of accusers. Pray for yourself that those closest to you will not affect you the most. Pray, Masa Kariba, pray, Masa Kariba, Masha Raba, Le Kaba, Le Kaba. Yes, Lord, we are thanking you. Oh God, we are thanking you. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this time in your presence. Thank you for this word, oh God. We give you thanks, oh Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Wow, 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 what a blessing. What a time in God's word, you know, what a message. It's been a blessing. At this time in our service, as we close, you know, I want to encourage anyone who's been with us today for the first time, please stick around after the grace dance. We would like to have an opportunity to meet you. So I think, you know, I see Olivia. Olivia, I think you've come before, but I don't believe we had a chance to meet you. So if you guys could stick around, I see Olivia, I see Kayla here with us. And I know that yesterday was Rose's birthday. So we're going to also pray for Rose after we say the announcements and after I introduce our Madam X. So at this time, without much further ado, let's come off of mute, make some noise, go over the chat box. I mean, do something. You can't just stay silent for this portion of the service. Let me introduce our Madam X star, Elizabeth.
Amen, amen. Wow, what a blessing. On behalf of First Love Delaware, I just want to give a big thanks to our elder. It's a blessing for the message that he has blessed us with. We want to thank you so much for to have you as our teacher, our minister, our leader here at First Love. Amen. Okay. And now for announcements. Please join us for impartation service at 8 o'clock on Tuesday with Bishop Henry. It's a blessed time. I hope everyone can make it. And also join us this Wednesday at 8 o'clock for our special Billy on Fire Center meeting this week. It's been really good these past couple of weeks. We have really good conversations. You can come in, ask any questions you want about whatever we're learning that day, or just any questions that you have in general about the Lord. And please subscribe to our very own Prophet Bishop Dag Kieran Mills on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can just search up Dag Kieran Mills in the search bar. And don't forget to subscribe to our very own podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. All you have to do is search up FLC Delaware. And yes. And we have a new ministry alert. We are starting a new ministry called Flow Flashback. We're looking for people to start giving a summary each Sunday about the message from Flow Unity. Please contact Elder Dylan for more information. Amen. Let's stick around for the grace dance and let's all say the grace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. But before we do the grace, so we have a very special birthday with us. Like I said, you know, yesterday was Rose's birthday. You know, Rose joined us when we had our, I see people making noise. Rose joined us when we had our without service back in April. I believe that was Rose's first time joining us, was our without service back in April. And she's been around since then. It's been a blessing to have her around, to talk with her, to get to know her. I know Elizabeth is good friends with her as well. So let's just take a few moments. Let's just pray over Rose's life. Take a few moments. Pray for God's will to be done for her life. We want to thank God for adding another year to her life. So just lift up your voice wherever you are. Pray for her. Pray over her life. Pray over God's plan for her life. Pray for her health. Pray for her finances. Pray for her family. Pray for her career. Pray for every aspect of her life that God's handprint will be touched. God's handprint will be found. You know, sometimes when somebody touches something, you can see the handprint. Pray that in Rose's life, you'll see God's handprint. When you look at her life, it's like God has touched here. God has touched here. Just lift up your voice for a few moments and pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this life, Lord. We thank you for Rose, oh God. We thank you for adding another year to Rose's life. Lord, I pray that you will keep her in that, Lord, that you will sustain her, God. Keep her in your perfect will, God. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, for the health that you've given her, Lord. I pray, Father God, that as she goes into this new year, God, you will give her sustained health, sustained guidance, oh, Lord, sustained peace. Lord, may she not stay at the same place. As she gets closer to you, God, may you give her grace and favor, God. May she be found close to you, Lord. Lord, your word says that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. As Rose is seeking you, oh, Father God, reward her. Reward her with the desires of her heart. May they truly come to pass. May the plans that she has next year, in 2 years, in 3 years, may the plans that she has for her life, Lord, may they come to pass, Lord. Even the areas that she hasn't figured out yet, oh Lord, give her the the guidance. Give her the grace that she needs to figure it out. Lord, I pray that you will keep her and that you will sustain her, Lord. Help her not to stay at the same level with you. God, by this time next year, may she be found at a higher place, oh Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for any challenge, any difficulty that she may be facing. I pray, Father God, that you will keep her, God, keep her strong. Keep her connected to you through the challenges, oh God. Lord, your word says that in you we will find peace, Lord. In you we will find peace. As Rose is being found in you, God, grant her peace. Grant her peace, oh God, as she's striving to be connected to you, God. Lord, remember her, oh God. Remember her as you stay. Lord, as she stays connected to you, Father God, remember her, keep her, oh God. Keep your hand over her life, God. Keep your ear open to Rose, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you thanks once again for her life. And I pray, God, that you will continue to be with her and walk with her. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. So at this time, I believe we can have our grace projected and go through our grace dance. Happy birthday, Rose.
And now,
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, the fellowship, the contributions, the participation of the Holy Spirit, the 25,000 children of God,
all the important people from
my life, and the first love.
Of the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind.
Be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Many are called, but the youth are chosen.
Amen.
Happy birthday, Rose.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone.
There's no music.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is there grace dance happening, or do we wanna say hi to Kayla and Olivia?
Liz,
we were waiting on your music.
Oh, mercy! I thought it was playing.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I think we're gonna say hi to Kayla and Olivia first. So hi guys, I know Olivia, I know you joined before. I think Patricia told me that your microphone isn't working, but you can text in the chat box. But yeah, Olivia, we just wanted to welcome you and actually introduce ourselves to you and maybe get to know you a little bit as well. I know you've joined before, but you had to get off that day early. So it's a blessing to see you again. Hopefully one of these days you get a chance to maybe join us on video or you join us at center.